Take your Bibles tonight, if you will, and I'm going to read a couple passages of Scripture tonight, and what I'm going to talk about tonight is something that the pastor doesn't talk about every time he comes to the pulpit, but if he preaches the whole counsel of God, then certainly there comes a time when he must address it, and I believe the Lord would really want us to stop and think tonight. The Lord has given me this message in the context of the series of messages that I've been preaching on selfish choices. That message was birthed in my heart as Brother Jones stood here in revival and preached on Tuesday night about ORPA. And he preached on the soaring cost of selfish choices. And we've looked, I don't know if I can remember all the messages or not, but we looked at the origin of selfish choices, how that Satan said, I will, I will, I will. And everything he said he would do, he didn't do. But everything God said he would do, he did. And then we looked at the opposite of selfish choices on Mother's Day with that woman in Proverbs 31. How that she did not choose for herself, but she chose for her spouse and for her children and for her Lord. And then we've looked at we've been back in Genesis 3 and 4, looking at the outcome of selfish choices. Well, on Wednesday night, we contrasted a couple of men in the Bible. Brother Merv, I'm about like you right now, brother. I've got this message on my heart, and I don't have my notes in front of me. Who were those two men? Somebody tell me that we contrasted Wednesday night. Who were they? Anybody remember? The Or. Who were they? Abraham and Lot. And we contrasted the lives of Abraham and Lot. And looked at the Or. Lot chose for the flesh. Lot chose based on sight and not based on faith. Lot's choice was good for cattle, but it was terrible for children. And he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And we saw the outcome there of that selfish choice. Tonight I'm going to preach another message in the Or of selfish choices. And contrast two men that were tempted with immorality. I'm going to try my best tonight, realizing that there are children in our presence, and to use Bible terms that we'll understand, but that would not be offensive to the little ones. Amen. But tonight, we're going to look at the life of a man named Joseph versus the life of a man named David. And we're going to look at a time in both of their lives when they were greatly tempted, sorely tempted, and yet one chose for self while the other chose for the Savior. And I hope tonight that I can get through this, and I believe that God would help us if we'll just allow Him to tonight. In Genesis chapter 39, Joseph was brought down to Egypt in verse 1. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, he bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. I love that. You ought to underline that in Genesis 39. I believe four times the Bible said, and the Lord was with him, or the Lord was with Joseph. And the Bible said here, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord had made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in the house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. I've often thought of how, you know, that Potiphar, instead of being envious, Instead of being jealous, he had sense enough, man, to lay everything he had in his lap. He said, everything that boy touches turns to gold. Amen. I'll just let him handle it. Amen. God's blessing was on his life. He left it all in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught that he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused, and he said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in his house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Let me just stop and make a statement. Adultery is great wickedness. Amen. And the Bible said, and it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph, look at this, day by day. It's not like we're going to be tempted one time in life, then we got that over with. Amen. I'm telling you, the tempter comes, and here day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. Now, I think that's important, or to be with her. In other words, he tried to stay away from her in the house. Amen. He tried to go the other way and stay away from her, keep some distance between he and she, because he knew what she was up to. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. But now this time's different. There was none of the men of the house there within. In other words, they were alone. And it's different. And she caught him by his garment, saying, she's grabbed him now. She said, lie with me. And I guess Joseph realizes it's only her and it's only me. And, of course, the Lord's a-looking. We saw that this morning. He could see what was going on. And he said, he ran. The Bible said here, it came to pass that she said, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand, and he fled, and he got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. It came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. Now, turn with me, if you will, please, in the Bible over to Samuel, 2 Samuel, chapter number 11. 2 Samuel, chapter number 11. I told my son-in-law sitting at lunch today, it doesn't matter who we are. As far as I know, he and Charity right now are just as happy as they could be. Amen. Little peanuts on the way. Amen. And peanuts making mommy sick right now. Amen. And they're very happy. And I said, Bob, you and I are not exempt from this. And then my daughter spoke up and said, yeah, down there at work, he's already had women hitting on him. Say amen. That ring don't mean nothing to a lot of people. Amen. And the word of God said here about David, it came to pass that after the year was expired, I'm in 2 Samuel 11 and 1. It came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Raba. But David tarried still. That but right there is huge. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide, when David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. I've always said in this generation, I feel sorry for people who can't tell the difference between a man and a woman. It's always been simple for me. Woman, pretty. Man, ugly. It's as simple as that. Amen? Amen? When you start getting pretty boys, that's when you get in trouble. Amen? And the Word of God said here, it came to pass in the eventime, he rose up off his bed. He saw a woman very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, I always likened this, and I can't prove this, but it seems to me like this would be a good type of the Holy Ghost of God. And one said, you don't have his name. He said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? I'm going to tell you something right now, folks. If we're saved by the grace of God, the Holy Ghost will warn us. Amen. And the Bible said here, and David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house, and the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, I am with child. And David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. That's all I'm going to read for now. I'll make mention of other things in both of these stories. But I want to look tonight and contrast the ore of selfish choices here in the life of Joseph and in the life of David. How many believes every time that temptation comes, God said, I'll make you a way of escape. Amen. Now you can go into that temptation or you can take the way of escape. And I believe God wants us to see that in this temptation to immorality, this temptation to fornication, this temptation to adultery, this temptation to lust. Amen. And I'm going to be honest with you. I almost be willing to bet that every person in this building has been tempted at some time or another. You say, well, preacher, I've never had that happen to me. I'll tell you what the Bible said. If you look on a woman to lust after her, a man has committed adultery already in his heart. I don't know about you. There's all the time people fussing about the law of Moses. I'd much rather live under his law than under Jesus' law. Say amen right there. His law is a lot tougher because we got the Holy Ghost living in us. Amen. And he wants us, my friend, to be pure. Let me pray. Please pray for me. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, tonight that, Lord, you have shown us in the Word of God. And I pray, God, tonight you'd help me to be clear. Help me to be concise. Help me, Father, tonight to be a blessing. And Lord, I pray tonight, God, that you would warn us, our Father, of the danger, Lord, ahead. Lord, we know that the longer we live in this world, the worse it's going to get. The love of many certainly has waxed cold. God, I pray tonight you'd guard your children. Help us to guard, Lord, our mind. And help us to guard our ears. Help us to guard our eyes. Help us to be careful where we allow our feet to carry us, what we allow our hands to handle. God, we'll give you glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Let me just give you some things tonight. Let me start the message out like this. If I stood up here tonight before you, and it would be neat if I could have an actual picture or a poster or even a three-dimensional figurine. But if I stood up before you tonight and over here I put a lion, and over here I put a bear, and over here I stand a giant that's close to 10 feet tall, and over here I stand a beautiful woman. And I ask you, which one of them's going to get David? Say amen. If we didn't know our Bible, I don't believe there's any way that anybody would say it'll be the woman. They'll say, surely it'd be the bear. Surely it would be the lion. We might argue, surely it would be the giant. But I'm telling you tonight, because of a selfish choice, it was the one on the end over there. Amen. And it cost him dearly. Amen. Let me say something to you tonight in the onset of this. Both of these men have a heart for God. Listen to me tonight. The Bible said that David was a man after God's own heart. The Bible does not say that about Joseph, but you cannot study the life of Joseph and not know that Joseph had a heart for God. He had a heart for God. He had a heart for God. Joseph, I appreciate him. David, I appreciate him. But we can learn tonight from the choices that they made in their life. Now, let me just give you some things tonight, and I'll get right into the message. Number one, we can stay in our place like Joseph. Stay in our place. That's what he did. Potiphar put him in charge of the house. and he was in charge of things. He had something to do. Amen. By the way, let me just tell you this. We get in a lot of trouble when we get idle. We need something to do. I'll tell you what, I'm concerned about youngins that ain't got nothing to do but hang out. Amen. I tell you what's happened to a lot of people that hang out, they end up hanging. How many knows I'm telling it right? Amen. We need something to do. And here we can, when I contrast this, we can stay in our place like Joseph, or we can get out of place like David. This is leading to immorality. It's leading to adultery. It's leading to sin, all because one man made the choice to stay in his place, and another man made the selfish choice. In the years that King go forth to battle, the Bible said David tarried still at Jerusalem. I'll tell you what will help us a lot, men. I'll tell you what will help us a lot. Stay in the battle. Amen. Just stay in the battle. I'll tell you, when we get idle and when we get out of the battle, we're liable to get in trouble with God. Amen. The Bible's teaching us here, stay in our place. We can do that like Joseph, or we can get out of place like David. Now let me give you this. Number two, we can flee like Joseph, or we can see like David. Now wait a minute. You say, preacher, I don't understand. How many knows that Joseph ran? There's a time the Bible said, having done all, to stand. But there's another time, I'm going to read you some verses, when we ought to run for our life, amen, and flee fornication. That's what the Word of God said. Flee the very appearance of evil. But I'll tell you something right now. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Or see like David. David saw a beautiful woman. You say, preacher, what was going to happen to Joseph? All he had to do was hang around just a few seconds more and he would have been seeing. How many knows what I just said? He didn't hang around. He ran for his life. He ran for his testimony. He didn't make a choice for himself. He made a choice for his Savior. He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How can I do it? Now listen tonight. I may be talking to people tonight. You said, preacher, what if somebody's guilty of this? Then you thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary. Say amen. And you go on and do what you can for the glory of God. That's what David's going to do. And we're going to see that in the message. The high cost. The or in selfish choices. The Bible said, turn with me please over to the book of 2 Timothy. Quickly. Over to the book of 2 Timothy. I'm looking these verses up. So maybe that'll give you time to look them up as well. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 22. Listen to what the Bible said. Flee also youthful lust, but follow. You see, we can't just flee. We've got to follow. You say, preacher, I don't understand in the life of Joseph. Joseph didn't just flee. He kept on following the Lord. I'll tell you, say, preacher, how do you know that? Follow him down to the prison. Everything he touches down there turns to gold too. The blessings of God did not leave Joseph because he was thrown in the prison. The Bible said here, flee youthful lust. Follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace to them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Turn over with me, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. I'm trying to cover some ground. Boy, I got a lot of ground to cover. Amen. If you saw what was laying in front of me, you'd just have a heart attack right now. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Look at verse number 8. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 8. The Bible said, boy, I'll tell you what, God spoke to my heart a while ago right here. The Bible said, and having food and raiment, therewith let us be content. Look at verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. You say, preacher, why are you keying on those words? I'm not stopping there. I'm just starting right there. But let me tell you something right now. You know what happens when we get discontent? We set ourselves up for a fall. No wonder God said, godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. The Bible said here, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Watch this. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare,
many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. The love of money is the root of all evil. Let me tell you something. That's misquoted a lot of times. Money's not the root of all evil. I'm going to tell you something. You cannot have a dime and love money. Amen. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. But look at it with me here. Look at it with me. The Bible said, some coveted after, have erred concerning the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Watch, he said, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience. I want you to understand something tonight. I'm looking at Joseph. He's a man of God. Say amen. I'm looking at David. He's a man of God. Say amen. Here the word of God is addressed to Timothy, and Timothy's a man of God. Can I just stop and say, my friend, if God so felt needed to address the men of God in the Bible, don't you think we ought to be addressed as well? Amen. Amen. Let me give you something tonight. Turn with me to the book of James, please. James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. The ore of selfish choices. We can flee like Joseph, or we can see like David. He said, preacher, I don't understand what the big deal about looking. Well, I'll help you right here. Hebrews, and then you got the book of James, and you got the book of Peter. I'm using a new Bible, and I thank God for it, but it's hard to get them pages apart, amen, when they're new. Amen. Hebrews and James, look at James chapter number 1. See what we got here in James chapter number 1. And verse number 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved. What's that next word? God's not talking to the heathen. He's talking to the brethren. Amen. He said, don't get this wrong. You better get this right. Amen. And God is trying to say to us, listen, there's the or. When we choose for self, and when we choose for self-gratification and an instant satisfaction, there's going to be a price tag attached to it. Amen. That's what God is trying to get us to see here in the Word of God. Now let me give you something tonight. We can stay in our place like Joseph, or we can get out of our place like David. We can flee like Joseph, or we can see like David. Now let me give you this. We can lose our coat like Joseph, or we can lose our character like David. Think about that. I'd be better to lose every coat I've got than to lose my character. Say amen. Joseph ran and he fled. You say, preacher, I don't know what you mean. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter number 6 for just a minute. Proverbs chapter number 6. Psalms and then Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter number 6, listen to the word of God here. Proverbs chapter number 6. Listen to what the Bible said in verse 23. The Bible said this. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs are instruction are the way of life. No wonder that David, after all of this, he said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Amen. Watch this now. The Bible said, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious lie. Can a man take fire in his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals, and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. That's what the Word of God said. I'm telling you,
God is firing a warning shot over the bow. It's part of the Bible, amen? And it needs to be preached in this generation. I'm telling you what's the truth. There were strange women in Proverbs, and there's strange women in the world today. And my friend, it might not be a stranger. It might be a sister. But we better watch. Because if we choose for self instead of choosing for the Savior, there'll be a price tag attached to it that we'll never get over. Amen. A reproach that will not leave. Let me give you this. We can reap like Joseph. You say, preacher, what do you mean Joseph was reaping? How many believes everywhere he went, he was reaping? Everywhere he went, he was reaping the benefits of a right choice. The benefits, because the Bible continued to say over and over and over, and the Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord was with Joseph, and God made Joseph to prosper over and over and over. He prospered, amen. God got him out of the pit. He prospered at Potiphar's house. He prospered in the prison. He prospered in the palace. And I want you to know tonight, he's still prospering in the presence of God because he made the right choice. We can reap like Joseph, or we can weep like David. I wonder how many men in Kingsport have come to a piece of bread over one choice. One choice. One selfish choice. I don't know about you tonight, but God being my helper, I'd like to choose for the Savior and not choose for myself. We can be falsely accused like Joseph, or we can be rightly accused like David. They were accused of the same thing, but it wasn't true in one of them's life. He was falsely accused. But when Nathan came and told the story about the traveler and the man that had the one little ewe lamb and the man that had all kinds of lambs. I'm just paraphrasing. And he said, this man took the one little ewe lamb. It was a pet. He laid down with it. He brought it in the house. And he took that one little ewe lamb when he could have taken one out of the flock. David swelled up. And David said, the Lord, the man that's done this thing, shall surely die. And Nathan said, you're the man. Thou art the man. I'm going to say this to us, church. Please listen to me right here tonight carefully. It's always easy to pass judgment when it's somebody else. It's always easy to, when it's somebody else's young and in trouble, it's easy to say what ought to be done. Say amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. The chickens will come home one day after a while. Amen. And we need to be careful when we're passing judgment one upon another. David had Nathan stand and say, thou art the man. We can remember like Joseph did. You say, preacher, what did he remember? I'll tell you what he remembered. Somebody taught him. Somebody taught him. You know what he said? This is not good English, but I believe this is what he said. I don't know how you say it in Hebrew, but this is what he said. He said, this ain't right. Somebody taught him, amen. Y'all know that even before we had the Holy Ghost living in us, we had a conscience. How many had a conscience would say sometimes, this ain't right. This just ain't right. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. When we hear the Spirit of God say this ain't right, we better agree with the Spirit of God and not try to excuse it. Because it's not right. We can remember like Joseph. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Or we can forget like David. You say, preacher, what do you mean David forgot? How about this? Read the whole chapter. Read, is it 2 Samuel 11? Is that where it was? 2 Samuel 11. Read the whole chapter. David goes on. It just starts with lust. And it did not end with lust. And it did not end with adultery. It kept going down, down, down. It went from lust. It went to adultery. It went to deception. Say amen right there. It went to putting the bottle to his neighbor's lips and getting Uriah drunk so he could get him to sleep with his wife and cover up the mess. Amen. And it went to murder.
You can say whatever you want to. Let me borrow your cane a minute, brother. David, he might as well have stuck the sword in Uriah's side himself. It was years before I understood this. He sent word by Joab, and he said, I want you to put Uriah in the hottest part of the battle. I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. I don't have it memorized exactly. But he said, I want you to put him in the hottest part of the battle. But for years, I didn't see this, Brother Grizzle. Then it said this, retire from him. It would be like if this side of the church was a gang, and this side of the church was a gang, and we're going to have a fight. Amen? But on this side of the church, we had it all made up. Just as soon as the fight gets started, we're going to leave Houston standing there by himself. He ain't got a chance. Say amen. Now, he might do all right if we all help him and fight with him against this side. Amen. Don't start no fights at Bible Way, okay? But I'm just trying to illustrate for you. Amen. I'm trying to get you to see that Uriah did not have a chance the way David set him up. And he's guilty. Now, by the way, I saw this last night in my Bible reading. In Psalm 51, he said, deliver me from blood guiltiness. I've not studied that out yet, but I'll guarantee you the blood of that baby was on his hands. The blood of Uriah was on his hands. Amen. Remember when he numbered the people? Say amen. And several, a thousand died. I'm going to tell you, there was a lot of blood on his hands because of selfish choices. Deliver me. By the way, that'd be a good prayer for America. We're blood guilty too. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Tonight, we can remember like Joseph, or we can forget like David. We can bless our children like Joseph did. In Genesis 48, Ephraim and Manasseh, he carries them into Jacob, and the blessings of God are pronounced upon them. Or we can bury our children like David did. He buried the baby. He buried Absalom. Absalom rebelled against him. He got that big long hair, that woolly mess caught in the boughs of the oak tree, and it hung him, amen. And David grieved in his heart for his boy. Absalom, my son, my son. We can stay right with God like Joseph, or we'll have to get right with God like David. I used to think about, I was thinking the other day about a message I preached one time. I know I've preached it once. I don't know if I preached it again. I get messages in different places. This one come off a can. And the title of the message was Contents Under Pressure. How many was under any pressure last week? Amen. And I got to thinking about human beings. Everybody's under some kind of stress, under some kind of pressure. By the way, I believe in this generation, that's what's killing us more than anything else. Amen? But I got to thinking about this. I illustrated with a hot water heater and a pop-off valve. It's got a pop-off valve on it. How many knows God put one on us too? Amen. How many's ever had it to pop off? This is what I said in that message. You can pray before you pop. That's what we ought to do. That's the best case scenario. Or you can pray after you pop. Either way, you're going to have to pray if you're a child of God. Say amen. You're either going to have to just stay right and keep your mouth shut, or you're going to have to get right after you open your mouth. Amen? Same with me. Same with these men. One of them stayed right with God. And one of them had to get right with God. We can do what's right and end up with a prison around us. Listen to me carefully. This is important. God showed me this. How many knows that Joseph's in prison? You can do what's right and end up with prison walls all the way around you. Or you can do what's wrong and end up with a prison within you. David looked like a free man for that year, didn't he not? Before Nathan called the shots. Say amen. He looked like he had it all covered up and he was free. I'll tell you, he wasn't free. You read Psalm 51. He wasn't a bit more free than a man in the moon. He was locked up on the inside. Sin had imprisoned the man of God. Tonight, the ore of selfish choices. Let me give you just a couple more things and I'm done. We can fulfill our dreams like Joseph. How many remembers what got Joseph in trouble? God gave him a dream. And he spit it out. He shared it with his dad and his brethren. Remember the sheaves bowing down? They more or less said, it'll be a cold day where the booger man lives. I'm going to tell you what, it never got cold where the booger man lives, but they did bow down. Say amen. We can have our dreams fulfilled. Don't you have some dreams for your home? Don't you have some dreams for your kids? Don't you have some dreams for your grandkids? We can fulfill our dreams and see them fulfilled with God's help. Or we can come short of our dreams like David did. He said, preacher, what do you mean here? How many understands tonight that David would have loved to build the house of God? But brother, because of a selfish choice, he was not allowed to build the house of God. How many believes tonight that are, even in our town, if some had it to do over again, they might have put the best pair of tennis shoes on they had and run for their life. Amen. I'm tenderfooted. I can't hardly walk on a parking lot barefooted. Amen. But I believe it'd be better to run through broken glass barefooted than it would to make the choice that David made. It'd be better to be cut, our feet cut all to pieces, than have our heart cut all to pieces. A couple more things. We can please the Lord like Joseph, or we can displease the Lord like David. If you get over to the end of 2 Samuel chapter 11, it looks like David's got it all covered up, right? And the Bible uses this verse. I believe I about got this one memorized. But the thing which David did displeased the Lord. David thought he had it all covered up, but God uncovered it. May the Lord help us tonight to choose for the Savior and not choose for ourselves. We can be like Joseph. I'm done. We can be like Joseph and be restoring the brethren. I may remember that. They get nervous when their daddy dies. You read Genesis chapter 50. They get real nervous. They think, boy, it's going to get on now. He's going to get even with us now. He said, am I in the place of God? He said, you meant it to me for evil, but God meant it for good. And so there's that weeping and that reconciliation and that fellowship. We can restore the brethren like Joseph, or we can be guilty of killing the brethren like David. I said it a moment ago, and it's true. He might as well have killed Uriah with his own hands. He ordered it. Tonight, there's the ore of selfish choices. We're living in a society where there's nothing wrong with anything anymore. Amen. Nothing wrong with premarital sex. Nothing wrong with extramarital sex. There's nothing wrong with anything according to society. But Brother Brian, we're in another nation. God said, I don't even want y'all looking that way. Amen. When we do, let's be swift to run. Turn our head. There's a lot of things, my friend, that you can't help but get a glance of. How many knows what I just said? Just be careful not to let the glance turn into a gaze. Because if the glance turns into a gaze, it's going to end up bad. That's the way selfish choices always end up. And tonight,
I believe God would just say to us, there's an or. We don't have to choose. Brother David, I thought about that little grandbaby this morning as you sat there. I tell you, she's precious. She needs you to choose right, don't she, brother? My grandbabies need me to choose right. How many knows the enemy would like for every one of us? Little Connor needs you, brother. He needs you. The devil is trying to destroy every one of us. Never get past what Brother Grizzle said. I hadn't been here long when he said the devil's trying to kill all the good ones. And I still believe that. Amen. He'd like to kill every one of us that want to do anything for God. And I'll tell you this right now. Greater is He that's in us. We can choose for the right. Choose you this day. How many remembers that message? Whom you'll serve. It's an everyday, daily choice. Amen. Let's serve the Lord. Let's serve the Lord. I don't want to put David in a bad light. But what I do want to do is put David's choice in a bad light. Amen. Joseph made a good choice. I guarantee if you could interview David today and say, David, what would you have done differently? He would have said, number one, I'd have been on the battlefield with my men. I would have been on the battlefield with my men. And I believe right there is where a lot of problems come from. When God's people go AWOL, they're missing in the service of God. God didn't give them leave, but they decided they would just take off for a while. Got idle. May the Lord help us. I'm just glad you come tonight. I believe tonight with all of my heart, God wants us to see a contrast in these two men. Wanted to see a contrast in Lot and Abraham Wednesday night. Now, I'll say this. If you didn't get to be here Wednesday night, you ought to listen to that. You ought to make up your mind right now whether you'd rather want to die like Lot or die like Abraham. You ought to read Lot's obituary and read Abraham's obituary and see which way you'd rather have it. Amen. I'm just glad you come. Thank you for coming. May the Lord help us all. Amen. I didn't say you all, us all. May God help us all to choose for the right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our precious people that are here tonight. Lord, I do believe that, Lord, the best we know how, we've obeyed you tonight. God, I know nothing in any individual's life that I'm trying to address from the pulpit, and I know nothing whatsoever. But God, I do know this. I am a man, and mankind struggles, Lord, in this area. Lord, if we wouldn't admit that, we're lying. And I pray, God, tonight that you'd help us, Lord Jesus, to be pure, to think pure, to think on these things. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us when we need to flee, to flee. Help us when we need to stand, to stand. Help us, our God, to know and to do your will and to choose for the Savior and not for ourselves. In Jesus' name.